From a competition to a pleasure hunt and all the stops in between, we cover it all here at Coon Hunting Media.
Dakota Lot Company, owned by Hoop and Tater Franklin, located in Tellico Plains, Tennessee, with the newest addition to their lineup, the Dakota Express. This lot features the industry-leading True Dual Battery Pack cap light. Switching from battery 1 to battery 2 is a simple flip of a switch. Contact Dakota Lots for their complete light selection. All of their lots are known for dependability and extreme battery life. Their direct business number is 423-261-2551. Dakota Lots, great lots, and even greater customer service.
Dillon's Electric Company, owned by Ricky Dillon, located in Crossville, Tennessee. Dillon's Electric offers a wide range of electrical service, from small jobs to large expansions, from new construction to electrical repairs. Give Ricky a call at 931-287-4761. Dillon's Electric, a quality you can always trust.
Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of the Coon Hunt Media Podcast. Tonight it's going to be myself, Jason, got Stacy, got Kyle, Hudson maybe coming back in to join us in a little bit, and we're missing Johnny tonight. Johnny is having to travel for work, and they have sent him off to the big city of Memphis. We're trying to decide if he's just sitting around the hotel room doing nothing or if he's out getting into trouble. Knowing Johnny, he's probably sitting around the hotel room doing nothing.
Yeah.
We actually begged him to let us phone him in. He said, "Hey, you boys got it tonight." So we're going to do that. So before we get into it, Kyle and Hudson have been talking. They're trying to get ready to start getting some merchandise out there for Coon Hunt Media. So, Kyle, tell the listeners a little bit about what we're going to try to get offered pretty quick.
Yeah, so we decided to get ready to do some merch drop, I guess you'd say. I guess what we're going to start with, some hats, get into some shirts, hoodies.
Yeah, so if you guys definitely get the hats. I think everybody likes the leather patch hats, so I know you guys are looking at getting a press and start doing some of that, and it seemed like everybody liked the hoodies mm-hmm. that we took and had on display at the Winter Classic. So we'll try to start getting a few things out there where some people can start wearing some merch. I like that word. That's a fancy word.
And if I need to, I can autograph those for you. Make them.
Stacy, autograph.
So before we get started, this is the other thing that just I fell right into that trap. So we all wanted a cup of coffee before we got started on this thing. So I went and made a pot. Stacy come in here with his little girly coffee that he makes that you could smell a mile away because it had so much of his little fancy creamers in it. But he got into this conversation about, have you ever tried coffee with eggshells? What are you talking about? He goes into this whole long thing.
We were in it.
Oh, we're in it. You put the eggshells in there and you brew your coffee with the eggshells. You're supposed to use like a percolator style, he said, and it sticks the coffee to your eggshells. But you get stronger coffee, but you don't have to be drinking coffee grounds. We're just going up. We're like, seriously? Yeah, I saw that on Gunsmoke.
I thought he was pulling some like heavy wisdom out and stuff of like a good trick to use.
Marshall Dillon knows everything, okay?
No, you said it was Festus.
It's Festus.
Oh, yeah. No.
Between you and Dad watching Gunsmoke.
I mean, I was tuned in next time here.
I was ready to go up and bust some eggs and try to make some coffee like this, but that didn't work. So
is true. Read it. Google it. It's there. I tell you how to do it.
It's like he's always rabbit climbing trees, doing this. He's got all these stories. So most of the time I'll go with him, but I fell for that one. I'm not sure if this one's real or not. So, all right, boys, what are we going to talk about tonight? We want to kind of go farther into maybe where we left off on the one about competition hunting in general. We'll call that as like our introduction to competition hunting. And this time we'll just try to maybe get into some scenarios with different rules, maybe how they would apply in different situations, and maybe if we can find some scenarios where there's, oh my gosh, he's Googled it trying to prove it. The egg per, okay, it does say it, there is a thing out there about making coffee with eggshells. So we'll talk about maybe some different rules, and I'd like to talk about how they differ. If there is anything that differs from one of the two, we'll keep everything between the two registries for the most part. So let's try that. Who wants to kind of, where do we want to start? What do we want to kind of hit first?
We'll dive in on something. I guess the main, what's our, like a theory behind this would be like, if you get in these situations in the woods, you know how they're going to be ruled. Because like a lot of things of learning the rules and reading the rules and applying the rules is a whole different ballgame. These rules being applied to the woods is different situations on when these rules can be applied and stuff. So this is some scenarios that like we went through on hunts and how to score them and know how they're going to be scored,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Okay, so let's some of the things we just kind of marked down that we wanted to maybe touch on. So let's start with off game. What do you do? How would the rules apply in some different off game scenarios? So maybe we can think of some things that's happened to us.
Depending on how big a set of horns you cut.
True. So we've had several different things. We had one dog the other night that almost caught a deer on a hunt. So
I think it did.
Yeah. So those are situations there's situations where you're gonna draw minus points on certain things, and that's how the rules are going to apply. So I'll let you two kind of, let's go through some of the scenarios. So let's start out with, okay, we tree a possum.
Yeah, I guess the first one, if we're in UKC off game and a registered cast, you'll just be minus. In a champion cast, you're scratched. So that's one thing to put out there.
Armadillo.
Anything.
Any off game. So situations and where that can apply, and that can be tough. So I'll remember last year hunting the Winter Classic. It was a tough hunt. We had you guys remember how cold it ended up getting that night, and we ended up going way over in Arkansas, and we hunted. I was hunting all grand, was in a grand cast. Every dog in the cast was grand nights. We had almost an hour. Well, we had like maybe 45 minutes left to hunt, and we wasn't treeing no coons. It was our group where we was at. It just was no good that night, and we was maybe on our third or fourth recut, and the dogs got in there, and I mean they didn't blow 50 yards in front of us, and they. Two of the dogs, we had three dog casts, two dogs locked up treed. We got none of it. We walked in, and guess what we had?
Slick tail.
Had a slick tail. And that was pretty hard blow because we had not only, you know, for us, we was good because that just left us in by ourselves. But you think about that, that was a higher profile hunt. People was driving from all over the country. I know I told you boys when we got done, I was farther away from the house we had rented driving that night than I was from my house, from that house back to our house. That would have been a really hard blow to drive that far and to get scratched. Yeah. But it happens. I mean, that's just the way that rule applies. I mean, those dogs had to go on the lead, and we had to sit there while they had to sit there while we hunted the rest out. We never treed a coon. We did tree a den tree, but we didn't get a coon treed.
So now, what if it's a PKC? What would happen there?
There's minus.
They're minus,
right? Stock entry.
Matter what level hunt you're in, right?
Nope. You can be in the finals for a $100,000 check, and your dog goes there and trees a possum, you're minus.
Right.
So depending on which registry you're in, and on top of that, depending on what level of that registry, when I say that at UKC, you got a different rule applying to you if you're hunting a registered dog or a titled dog.
And a lot of times, like you go to a hunt, like a slam hunt or something, they'll announce we're hunting under champion rules. Which means if your dogs are registered, but you're hunting a slam, that means all dogs are together, they're hunting under a champion rule, which means if you tree a possum, you'll be scratched.
RQE.
RQE. Any time that you've got a chance of having a champion dog in your cast, you will be scratched for off game.
Yeah, so UKC, they I'll call that ruling up. Yeah. No matter what you do, if they're hunting a hunt where, like you just said, they can go together, it's always going to go to the harder rule. You don't get the free break back down. Yeah. Everybody else has to work up to that same rule. So that's a different thing. All right. So that's what happens with a possum. Possum or something that climbs. You know, like Stacy said that one time about them rabbits that climb trees. Anything that can climb.
I guess you'll get scratched for a rabbit.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
So he swore that one time that it happened. So, but anything that climbs a tree that you can physically go in there and you might see it, That's where that rule applies. Gets a little different. What happens on deer? There's a little more deer, yeah, fox, anything that runs.
Yeah,
I'll say
you got to be able to see the dog in action.
So what if we go out, because this could be a frustrating point for me. Let's say me and you and Stacy are hunting, and Stacy's packing a trashy dog.
Surely not.
And we know it's trashy. We know what it's doing, but we can't see it. What happens?
That's a hard pill to swallow. You know it.
Nothing new about it.
And you hear a lot of people talking about it. Even today, I mean, you get these dogs that can leave out on a deer, hit 700 yards in just a blink and fall off and tree a coon. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
That's where I was going with that. It don't make no difference.
No. You got to see him in the action.
So now let's switch gears. I'm making fun of Stacy. He was hunting my trashy dog. He was in a hunt just a few weeks back, and
it's a young dog now. First
it is a young dog, but you saw the deer. You have no choice on that one. Yeah, you're gonna
the
get
dog
your minus.
Wasn't 10 feet behind it.
So
you can tell the dog is running that deer. Yeah.
But that's just kind of where the brakes fall. That if that dog had been running that deer, and he didn't run it literally through the middle of the cast, pretty much had to split the cast up. That dog wouldn't have got no minus.
Yep. I took minus, but I went ahead and went true.
Right.
Because I didn't know where he's going to. I was there from home.
He's about to leave the universe with
him. I wanted to catch my dog.
Right.
My dog.
But the situation, the way that arose, had that dog ran that deer and nobody seen it, that dog wouldn't have got those minus points. Yeah. But because that deer, obviously ain't climbing trees like the rabbits.
Yeah, so in that situation, you'd be minus your strike points.
Correct.
Like whenever you're a tree point has been declared, you get minus strike and tree. As far as if you tree off game. Otherwise, you'd just be minus your strike for running off game.
Running.
And off game couldn't even classify, too, because there's clearly marked in them rules about molesting livestock is the way I think it used to be worded. You get out there and your dog starts chasing some farmer that's let you go hunting his cows, you're going to get the same treatment as if he or she's chasing a deer or a fox
correct.
Or something.
Correct.
Okay. So that's how that would handle on some of those off games. Or anything other scenarios with off game that you guys can think of that you might or could or we have ran into over the years?
Yeah, which another thing to talk about, like with molesting livestock, we was talking about in you like a registered division where they can't get scratched for train a possum or off game, you will be scratched for molesting livestock.
Yes. And on these hunts,
instead of taking minus, if you're hunting a registered division and you're molesting livestock, that's a scratchable offense.
Yeah. Now, and that's something that you don't think of, but it could happen a lot more often than not, because typically where are you going hunting at? Some farmers letting you in on his place. A lot of cattle farms. I mean, there's places that will go. You may be turning loose around chicken houses at times. You may be going to some big cattle farm where there's feeders that they're feeding cattle. You know, they just got a lot of coons in there, and those farmers is letting somebody in.
So hogs.
So it happens. Now, I will say, I remember Stacy was with us. We had that one story. We had a bunch of cattle on that farm. Our dogs wasn't running them, but them cows was running us. My little short legs cleared a 5-strand barbed wire fence and landed right in the briar thicket, and I was happy to be there.
Also, now in the off game now, not training possum, we hunted a hunt a few weeks ago, and one of the guys, my guide, his dog treed a possum in the tree, and he mised him. But I showed him the coon in the tree.
Same tree. You called him.
I said, the coon's laying right here, and they still couldn't hardly see that coon.
Plus.
But I showed them the coon. Instead of, and it is the first drop, right out of the trip.
Hudson was saying that was one of them he should have kept his. He said they couldn't find their own coon. What you showing that one for?
Great sportsmanship, Hudson.
That could happen.
So sometimes, I mean, look a tree over good. So even though there's a possum up there, they can be a coon or two. I treated on a cast one night, and a big old holler snag stuck out. Mike Palmer was my guy that night, and we heard the fight in the hole, and it run a possum out of the hole, and it was hanging by its front feet and climb up on the limb.
Yeah, you see that a lot in like Arkansas. They run armadillos out of holes.
I took a minus because that's the only thing we've seen there. Mm-hmm. You could hear it. You knew it was in there, but you could not.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not on a competition hunt. I don't know that I've ever been on one where we had a possum and a coon up the same tree, but I do remember years ago we had a tree, and we found a turkey in the tree. And I don't know how would that situation go. They wanted to minus it at the time. Now, we did find the coon later, but there was a turkey sitting in the same tree that you could see. But now, obviously them dogs didn't run that turkey up there. It had flew up and roosted him.
Yeah, you wouldn't be. You're not even scratched for a turkey.
Well, I was gonna say, I didn't know. I couldn't remember. Does a turkey qualify for? Would that qualify as an off game up a tree? Because I guarantee you, if a coon was not found up that tree, somebody in certain casts would try to press that luck. And I have physically seen a tree that we went to that had turkey in it before.
I was looking here at the rules. I don't think it. If it is declared as off game,
it may not be.
Because it. You know what, Stacey?
No, I don't think it could be.
I don't think it is.
No.
I don't think a turkey is. Because I've been in a couple situations with that, but always looking up in situation, the tree was slick anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was scored as a minus tree. But if there's a dog that treated, I'm pretty sure it don't come in effect.
Okay.
Because if there's a damn tree and you've got a turkey.
That's like a squirrel now. If you find a squirrel tree, if there's a legitimate nest or a den there, you're not minus for a squirrel because a coon can run that
or scratched.
Or scratched because a coon can run a squirrel out.
Yeah. And it says that, and it does declare that in the rules. It says in the tree, it says, in exception, if the off game is declared it's a squirrel, it says in the tree is an obvious den tree, it's a circle tree.
Mm-hmm. So for people that's...
And it does say right there, birds are not considered off-game.
Oh, it does. So it does say that. Okay, so there
I
you go.
I thought it wasn't.
I just remembered that happening one time, and I want to think somebody warned them out, but we did find that coon. I remember seeing the coon was up the same tree. But now that's the point you boys both just made for new people hunting. All of us has done this for a long time. We've seen it happen, so we kind of expect it, but... Don't be surprised if you found something off game like that and it's a den tree. There is a good chance that the coon's in it, like the one Stacey's talking about. They heard the coon in there, but they couldn't put their eyes on it. I mean, that's the key. You got to find the coon. You know, like you boys just went to Blue Tick Days last week, and we know Hudson had the one tree that they knew it had a coon. One of the guys saw the coon's eyes as it was walking in, and by the time they got the cast in there and everybody started shining the tree, they determined it was a den tree. They had seen that coon walking in, but they wasn't up there where they could score. Just one guy saw it and told Hudson, hey, I see it. I already see it. But they had all kinds of heat on that thermal all around that hole, but we didn't get no plus points.
Nope.
You got to take some of them breaks with it as you go.
Yeah, another thing to think of, when it says a squirrel, that'd be a circle tree if you've seen a den tree or a nest with a squirrel. But now, if there's a squirrel up that tree and there's no place for a refuge where a coon could be, then that squirrel is considered off game.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to get your minus on that one.
So a lot of people will think of, well, I've got a squirrel. That ain't going to make no difference. There's got to be a place of refuge for a coon, not a place of refuge for a squirrel. It's got to be a place big enough for a coon to seek refuge for it not to be considered off game.
Right now you got babies, though, so it's off a small hole.
Do they go smaller for you?
Yeah, Stacy's going to, he starts calling.
Golf ball size holes.
Oh, yeah. That's a golf ball size. That's a baby kitten. Got to be up that tree.
Get in my tree.
See, what a lot of people, what's funny to me, though, is they keep saying, like, a kitten coon could get out of that hole. What about the mama coon? They got to get in that hole, too, to feed their babies. Everybody goes, like, smaller holes with smaller coons.
Yeah, I know.
Their mama's got to go in that hole.
It was a joke.
Sure.
It's a joke.
Till Friday night. Till Friday night. Till Friday night.
Now, the last, when we were doing the basic rules of it, we kind of ended that one on how to score a tree, and one of the scenarios we talked about on that one was, well, how do you deal with dogs coming into closed trees and different scenarios. Let's just kind of go back through that one, because there is a little difference in the way those are scored in the two registries. So let's go into
simplest one is in PKC. Dog comes in after a tree and then there's off game, and their strike's gonna be deleted either way. In PKC.
You said off game.
Yeah, is that what we're talking about?
Well, I was moving on to the other. So you're back up. Okay. So back up.
All right. So in PKC, if a dog comes in after the tree's dead, after the judge arrives, when you're there, it don't matter. If they come in after, as long as that tree is not plus, their strike's going to be deleted. It don't matter if it's off game or not. If the tree's plus, then their strike will be minus.
Well, if the dog's there before you get there.
It's deleted, still in PKC.
Still deleted.
Yeah, PKC is deleted either way,
so
except
it's not,
for a coon.
So PKC, if a coon, so the only time in PKC that a dog that was not declared, now we're saying a dog is not declared treed, right?
And it don't, and even if like in PKC, if I declare my dog treat after the treat time and he's there, he's deleted his tree.
Okay, but if
there's
a coon,
big differences between
right,
UKC
so, so
and
if
PKC.
A, if a coon is seen at that tree, he's minus or he's minus strike. He's minus strike. Yeah. Any other situation, he's deleted. Deleted. So then you move over to UKC. So the first scenario, let's say the dogs are treed and a dog comes into that tree after the tree's closed, and he's definitely, that dog is treeing, but it's not, you know, the tree shut out. So, yeah. So what happens?
Tree's dead.
That?
The 3 minutes is up.
So when you walk into that tree, what happens to that dog that was not treated?
And he is there prior to us arriving. He's minus strike, period.
No matter what. You don't even have to put a light on. Just put him on a lead. He's got minus points.
And he has to be there. The rules say treeing but not declared treed, and he'll have to be handled at that tree. But
so he's going to get minus either way. Well, he would get minus if he was struck in.
He has to be struck.
So if he was struck in, you're going to have to handle him anyway, so you're going to take your minus.
Yeah.
If that dog was not struck in, you're still going to have to – well, would you have to handle him at that point?
Yeah, if the dog's at the tree, he's handled.
Okay. Yeah,
regardless. And the good way to think about that would be – and people are afraid to strike their dog after that because they're afraid they're going to take minus. But little do they know, though, if you strike your dog after a dog is declared treed, you've got a line on your strike.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're treed but not declared, you're shut out on that tree. Period. So if
the only way that dog's strike points would even become valid is if he gets treated by itself somewhere.
Yeah. Golly.
One of the girls is upstairs doing some serious bouncing on the floor. The tin ceiling is making some noise.
Yeah. But so if you're shut out on a tree, your strike's deleted if you're there. It don't matter if you're there treed or not declared treed. It don't matter because your strike will be deleted because you're shut out.
Okay.
That's another scenario that people don't think of.
Let me throw one on at you. Dog struck in here. Dog is declared treed. We're walking on that tree. My dog struck in, but he treed. Treed with him. We'll get there.
Yeah.
I don't tree him in. We walk in there. He's two trees over. What do you do now?
He has to be declared treed.
Once you get there, right?
Yeah.
And wait his 3 minutes out.
He's still going to have to wait. Unless all dogs are declared treed in the cast.
Correct. But you walk in there. That dog, I didn't tree him in because I know he's the other dog. I get in there. He's two trees over. So I'm going to go ahead and declare him treed right there, split treed.
Yeah. Well, first thing what I look at, and this is just something, a lot of little thing, fine things a lot of people don't think about, is I'm not declaring that dog treed unless I know for sure he's split. Because if I declare him treed and we look up and these trees connect,
together, that's right.
He's absolutely minus both ways. Because you're declaring him split.
People are going to run in these situations.
Yeah, these are a lot
of what to do.
And we're talking about UKC right now.
UKC.
This is UKC.
UKC.
But yeah, so that you're way, right. If you walk in there and just say he's 50 yards split and he was not declared treed, you're going to have to treat
him. Clarify that again. So you, with that scenario, you thought he was treed with the other dog, so you was afraid to treat him because you knew you were going to you draw minus. So
and the reason why he would be afraid of treating him, in UKC, if I tree my dog in after that tree is dead, he goes in for 125. That is, the rules say you are doing that, you're declaring your dog split. And if you get in there,
because that tree's dead.
That tree's dead. So if you tree your dog in, you're saying he's split. Without saying he's split, the rules declare that you're...
Yeah, you're saying he's automatically declaring him as split because he couldn't declare on that tree because that tree's
close.
And so in that situation, if you do that and you tree him after the tree's dead and you get in there, he will be minus his tree and strike. Because what that is declaring is, since you're declaring him as split...
He's moved.
He is. There was that declaring it as he has moved to that dog that was treed.
So what we're trying to look at here is, if a dog does that a couple trees over, make sure them trees are not touching before you tree them in.
Correct.
In that situation, I'm cutting you off to ask a question. Would you start shining first, and then once you started shining, then you would look over at the judge?
Well, you can have the judge look for you.
So you have the judge.
Go judge, hey, are they trees touching? If they're touching together, I wouldn't treat.
Yeah, and as a judge, if I'm walking in there and I see that, and first thing I'm doing is I get the guys together and back, hey, before we start scoring this tree, we're going to look up and see if these trees connect. And if you look up and they don't connect, that's it. You go ahead and say, all right, we're going to proceed to score this tree. And then that man can tree his dog or whatever.
That's good for people to know how that situation goes, okay?
Because that happens a lot.
Yeah, that does.
And you need to know how to handle that situation.
See, and a lot of things, a lot of people don't think about, even if you know your dog's just a tick right-handed, you know your dog does not cover, period. And he goes in there, he may check at one dog, and then you watch him go on the Garmin 50 yards, come treed, I'm not treeing my dog. Because if I tree him, and I know my dog split, that dog that's been treed moves 20 yards over your dog. Now you're taking a bump both ways.
Because there is a chance that
you could move over and you cannot prove it.
That's the world this year. Dog moved over. We split tree, one left-handed about 50 centimeters apart, and the other dog covered two marks.
And if you're so far away, you can't tell that.
That's right, with a three-quarter mile away. Yeah. Once you got in there, you couldn't tell, but dog moved over.
So some of these scenarios are going to just come with experience. It's going to have to happen to you.
Oh, yeah, and these are little things that people that set aside. A lot of people say, I'm just going to go out there and call my dog. Well, yeah, calling your dog, you've got to know your dog and call your dog, but there's a lot of little things.
Scenarios of while you're calling your dog that could happen.
And strategize.
That can help you and also can hurt you if you don't know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because
once you get in there, you can always split tree your dog.
Because this is a team sport. People don't think of it as a team sport, though. It's dog and handler. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we'll just be out there counting coons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a team sport. You're helping your dog as much as he's helping you.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that's good. So the other scenario that would have walked in on that one. So you, let's say you backed in there again, and we've said how that's going to be deleted. You didn't tree your dog. You walk in. Your dog is absolutely under that tree with somebody else's dog. You shine that tree. Their dog has a coon. Then what happens?
They're minus.
So there's your difference in the scenario. That's when the minus comes in. Every other scenario is deleted.
You talking about PKC?
No, UKC.
Is he tree but not declared tree?
Yeah, so I'm just going back to the same scenario.
Okay.
So we walked into that same tree. We talked about what would happen. We didn't see, you know, we split it 2 feet over, whatever. We're going to have that same scenario happen. Dog A gets treed. Tree's closed. Dog B got treed with him. They don't declare him. We walk into the tree. Yep. Dog B is sitting there treeing up that tree with him. We shine the tree. Coon is seen.
So they're together.
They're still they're one's on one side of the tree, one's on the other. Same tree.
Okay,
no,
so same tree.
So they're
that
on
dog's minus. Period.
That so that's what I'm saying. So we're going through your delete scenario. So that
he's
scenario,
it's
minus.
Whether there's a coon there or not, he's minus.
Okay. Minus one strike.
Because he was treeing but not declared treed before the judge's arrival.
Now, is there any other scenarios that could potentially or would potentially happen to somebody in that at that point in time? And I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that might happen to somebody that they're going to experience for the first time.
Well, I mean, another thing to think of is, we'll go back to off game, is in a champion cast in UKC, if you're handled at that tree, you're scratched too. Whether you was treed or not. Whether you were struck in or not. If you're handled on that tree, you're scratched for off game.
If your dog comes in,
mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Even though she's not there, she's not treeing, you walk that tree and you find the off game, then your dog comes in and you handle it right there.
If you're handled at that tree at any point in time, you will be scratched.
True. And that goes back to my same.
And if she comes in and leaves, or he, whatever, comes in and leaves right immediately, then you won't be.
Well, see, that's handled. Well, I was going to say that same scenario, that's a good point, because that story of what happened to us at the Winter Classic, which Stacy will tell you, punts don't tree possums. Them dogs was hammered on that tree. She wanted to come in because it happened so fast. We barely got the dogs cut.
It's like, what do they got?
Well, they just kind of run in on it. We walked into them. She started to us, and she wheeled and left.
Yeah,
all she had, if she had come on in another 30 feet, we'd have had a scratch cast, and everybody was heading on back to the house. But she knew that wasn't right, and she turned and got out of there and went on and went hunting. Yeah. So, this would be maybe shifting gears. That particular hunt – it put us in another situation, which that female, she handles good. She hunts good. It don't matter. You can tie dogs up. But we was so far from the truck, was a mile from the truck, wading through duck ponds. It was a duck lease. They weren't going to take the dogs back to the truck. So we literally had to hunt her for the last 30, 40 minutes with the other dogs in the cast tied up.
Yeah.
What's your situations on that? Because that particular dog does hunt good. I mean, you can cut her with the other dogs right here on the lead, and she's going to go.
Yeah.
But what would we do in that situation? Okay, I've got 30 minutes at a major hunt all to myself, but yet I'm going to have these other dogs here. They're snapped. What if she had took off and didn't want to hunt out there? What are some things that you could legally do, staying by the rules, to help get that dog going if that dog didn't want to take off? Because that happens a lot of times. Dogs don't always – Well, we want ours to, but
I mean, there's a few things I guess I never had that situation, but I guess if I did, you start going into a lot of just courtesy stuff. Hey, do you care if we walk just a little bit to see if she's going to go? Something like, this is stuff they ain't got to do.
No.
But you can request that. Otherwise, 15 is going to be started on if you don't hunt 15 minutes, you're scratched.
Right.
So there's no choice.
I mean, that's a situation that you don't expect to be sitting out there.
Y'all are a mile from the truck.
They ain't going to truck put the dogs up.
If we're 50 yards away, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, see what the thing is, though, like you got to think of is you wasn't handled on that tree, so you're out hunting anyways. So I guess your situation that you'd be in would be if you got split, if you went there and got tree and they're having to lead their dogs into your tree
mm-hmm.
and you cut. Yeah, I mean, the only thing you can. I guess the only thing you could hope for is that they jam that possum 50 yards out of the truck, and then,
right.
and then boys don't want to leave their dogs around. They go put their dogs in the truck. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking that was one of them situations that, and I don't blame them, putting the dogs in the truck wasn't an option. No. I wouldn't say, hey, man, you care to go back and put your dog up, and that was going to take me an hour to walk to the truck.
No, I mean, there's only two things you could hope for then is you're that close to the truck or your dog's out there 100 yards just pit on around and the guide says we need to move.
Yeah. And that's one of them situations like with that dog. I don't have to worry about it so much with that dog because that dog's going. But I mean, I've got other dogs sitting out here at the house that are younger dogs. They probably wouldn't. They'd have come back.
That's just a bad break, as you'd say.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could happen though. That's something that you run into.
Yeah.
Do we want to take a short break? We're already about 30 in. And then we'll come back with maybe a few more questions.
Hop back on here. Coon Hunting Media is proudly sponsored by Little T Squallers.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I got him.
Them are the words every competition hunter loves to hear. You're winning, Coon. Has just been found. Little T Squallers, owned and designed by Tim Tempton, has set the bar for high quality, dependable, and unmatched performance. From pleasure hunters to extreme competitors, he covers it all with his five elite models. Original Little T, the Triple Threat, the Double Shot, the Pro Series, and the newly designed Bell Ringer. If you want to enter the woods with confidence, contact his office at 423-562-5333 and become elite.
In addition to our official sponsors, we would also like to thank the following sponsors. Secret City Kennels. The kennel is owned by Mr. Mark Gettner and Mr. Wendell Jones. At Secret City Kennels, they support the English Coonhound breed. They have English Coonhounds for sale from time to time. Contact Mark or Wendell for all your English needs. They are available for your English Coonhound advice and are happy to answer your questions. These guys have done their fair share of winning in the comp events, including wins at the PKC Labor Day Classic, fifth place overall in the UKC World Hunt, ninth place in the AKC World Hunt, English Days, Winter Classics, and the list goes on and on. Mark is the current PKC English Coonhound President. Give either of these guys a call. They will be glad to talk with you. Their numbers are Mark at 931-787-2784 or Wendell at 865-748-7795. They are located in Kingston, Tennessee, and Coalfield, Tennessee.
Saddle Up Canine Cryo is owned by Mr. Bill Scheninger. Bill is located in Delta, Ohio. Don't miss out on the opportunity to keep that special stud dog forever. His services include semen collection, freezing, side-by-side shipping, and semen storage. Bill is also the owner of one of the best-known plot kennels in the country, Saddle Up Plots. Saddle Up Plots is home to UKC, PKC, AKC, WTDA, Grand Knight Champion, PR Saddle Up Lazarus. Lazarus accomplished the following accolades in 2021. He was UKC World Champ Plot, Plot Days Isaiah Kid Winner, Purina Breed Winner, Autumn Oaks Breed Champion, APA Breed Days Winner. Fresh chilled and frozen semen is available. Contact Bill directly for all pricing and services information for canine cryo and saddle up plots. Bill's phone number is 419-467-7689. Saddle up plots. Making plots rise again.
Welcome back. We're going to hit a second round of it here.
So while we were taking a break, what good information did you find any good information over on your Google box of something else that we didn't know about besides making coffee with eggs?
My Google box, my brain. I got all kinds of information.
Golly.
I have an answer for everything.
His brain and gun smoke.
And the rifle.
And the rifle.
Yeah, he gets a lot of life lessons off of that too.
That's right.
So let's go back into our questions and let's see about some other scenarios. We've got halfway through our list of stuff we thought about could happen.
And another thing, these are some questions that we've been asked too. And people's wanting us, because we had a lot of feedback on the fundamental rules by a lot of people. And you know, a lot of people would say it's probably born of how to strike your dog and stuff. They know that. But a lot of these rules, and this will turn into a part 3, 4, 5, probably the rules go on and on. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're always going to be able to learn more about the rules and scenarios.
We're just trying to help these younger guys starting out. Even me, you know, I've done it for years.
There's scenarios.
Sometimes just listening to, going over rules, scenarios,
it helps
me on my end of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you both are, I think both of you are really good on the rules, and I can ask the questions, and you guys can figure out how they're actually applied in a situation. So.
And there's a lot of rules that are applied certain ways that all people don't even think about.
That's in 30-hour lesson, that is.
Oh, I've had a lot thousands of dollars worth of
those. Took a lot of them $30 lessons.
So let's go to the next another situation where rules dogs get minus a lot of times is calling dog missed calls. Well, let's talk about missed calls for just a minute because those rules are different in the different registries.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
to an extent. Yeah. So let's talk about that. So let's go out here and the three of us are lining up and we're cutting our dogs. We're hunting a UKC event. Yeah. So I'll say we're UKC. I'm new at this. I don't know what I'm doing, and I got a little excited. I called Stacy's dog on a strike.
Okay, so then this scenario, UKC and PKC is the same.
Okay. So what I called my dog struck. Stacy looked right over at me and he said, "You just called my dog." And
yeah, so in that situation, to keep it from people taking advantage of this and just getting people minus just to get an extra minus point, that it has to be proven. I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of, like a cast vote and stuff, and a lot of times a good judge, whenever they hear that, another man says, "Hey, that man just called my dog," a lot of times it's going to say, okay, they assess the situation, tell everybody the wrong dog has supposedly been struck, then everybody's going to be listening and paying attention to that dog has just been struck. And then if you hear another dog, maybe a different tone or tick left-handed or something, but that dog has to be proven to be called wrong to be able to minus them.
Okay, so the first time that happens in UKC or PKC,
yeah,
so they're going to get
that available.
They're going to get
the available minus the available strike that's available. It could be 100, 75, 50,
whatever's available. They're going to get
25.
It.
They're going to be granted that and then minus that. So there's the judge will say, struck for 75, minus for 75 for striking the wrong dog.
So a situation on that, and this is where I will come into a little confusion with that. So let's say it's the first, I can see this after the hunt starts. On the very first drop, how could you, because I've seen it go like that when somebody would make that call, and then Stacy would say, "You just called my dog." In reality, what do you do in that situation? If I know I called the right dog, I didn't call the wrong dog, and Stacy's actually the one that's wrong. I'm going to still get minus for that, right?
You stand when you call, and they're because, like I said, they're going to have to prove it.
Okay.
So, I mean, only times that really you don't prove it is like around here we hunt all of our local clubs,
mm-hmm.
and we know every dog we draw, we know them all left and right. I mean, we know what everybody's dog sounds like.
That's true.
Other than that, if you are a good judge and you know it 100%. Yeah, you're minus them right there. Yes, sir, you've struck the wrong dog, minus.
Mm-hmm. So that's
other than that, they've got to be able to prove it, which, like I said, a good judge and good cast of people, at that moment, there's only no arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to be quiet, and they're going to be listening.
Mm-hmm. So in that situation, if I messed up and called the wrong dog and it was provable like it, I'm going to get minus for that.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm firmly believe in. I called the right dog, and they still choose to minus me. And that'll run into another question later. Is that a place where you should question mark it?
Well, the only time you, I mean, you can, but really the only time that's going to be in effect where I would question is if you was on the finals of a hunt and you had a panel out there.
Okay.
Otherwise, I mean, it's going. That's a situation where if you get outvoted on that, there's a question ain't going to help you none because you're going to be outvoted. And they're going to say, I mean, on a situation like that, if everybody in the cast says you struck the wrong dog, the master hounds that out in the woods.
Correct.
To be able to hear the dogs.
Correct.
Can you walk in that dog and check it?
Not sure. Not if it's struck.
They're running. I'm just asking. I mean,
yeah, you probably,
something
yeah.
you could do?
Not if they're struck, because then, you know, the dogs are running a coon then, so you can't interfere with that. Only situation that would come in would be if the dog was declared treed.
I mean, I've done it before. I've struck wrong dog. And I know when I've done it.
And sometimes you get away with it, sometimes you don't.
Well, sometimes you just own it. And like,
I owned up to it. I took my minus and went on.
Yeah.
It just, I was in the final minutes and I was trying to get some points up and dog struck and I struck my dog. And he said, that's my dog. I said, you're right, it was.
Yeah.
You know, and they sounded a lot alike.
Yeah.
They sounded a lot alike.
So let's take that scenario a little bit further. And I mean, I know the answers. I'm trying to ask them these in question form. So I did that. I struck the wrong dog. You guys called me out on it, and I got my minus. Let's go on. We're going to go and hunt a little bit farther, and I'd do it again. We turn loose the second time. I struck a dog. Stacy looks over there at you, the judge, and he goes, he struck my dog again. Now what happens to me?
He's grabbed.
He just got himself a truck ticket.
So I got a truck ticket, but it's my own truck, and I got to go back
to
it.
He's going to the house.
So that's the way that rule applies. You got one pass that's a minus. The next time it happens,
I guess the reason people is going to think this is a dumb rule or whatever, the reason why this is to keep people from taking advantage of getting extra strike points they ain't deserved.
Right.
You know, like
trying to run a scorecard up.
Trying to run a scorecard up, and it's not even their dog doing it. You know, if Stacy's dog goes out there and gets struck for 100, and I strike mine when it's actually his, if there's no penalty there, what's keeping me from striking the first dog every time? And
correct,
there ain't nothing nobody can do anything about
it. Yeah, and that's where now does that rule apply? The same way in both registries.
Yeah, it does. Even in treeing too. If you tree the wrong dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really all calling.
It says calling the wrong dog. So if you do that twice in a hunt, you're scratched.
So that's another thing about the reason we want to run through that scenario is that's where you'll get you what we call them $30 lessons. You may get a much more expensive lesson, but if you do that more than one time, and the cast calls you or you're the judge calls you, you're done. You're out for that.
And like we said, even treeing the wrong dog, you'll be granted whatever's available. If it's 120, it's normally 125 because you're trying to get first strike or you're trying to get first tree or something. You'll be granted that and then minus it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So now let's move. Let's talk about calling dogs. Let's move into there's a little different scenario in the two registries and how you call dogs treed. So because Hudson, he got him a little lesson on that this past weekend at Blue Tick Days. So we're out here. We're hunting UKC and I hear my dog tree, and I call him treed or her treed.
Yeah.
What happens?
I mean, there's like how you talked about two different registries. So, in this situation, you're not calling the wrong dog. You're calling your dog, and it's your
dog. At this point, this isn't about calling the wrong dog. I'm going to move into another situation there. That's of that. I hear my dog treed, and I'm hunting in a UKC hunt. And I say, punch tree.
Yeah.
That's my dog's name that we hunt. So what's going to happen in that situation?
If they do hear you, they don't. Like what we
well, let's just start out. What are you going to do? If I made that call, you're going to stop and listen for my dog?
At that moment, the judge, it's always the judge, but that moment, all the cast members are going to stop and listen.
And if you hear my dog, you're going to
acknowledge
it and put me on the paper for that. So now let's switch over, and we're in PKC. And I heard my dog treed, and I said, punch treed. What's going to happen in that situation?
So what are you talking about? First thing I could think of, and there's two different rules. In UKC, if you declare a dog treed or declare a dog struck and nobody can hear it, you're just not granted them points.
Maybe I should have asked you. That's kind of where I'm getting at. I'm getting into a scenario that happened that cost him some points, legitimately so.
Yeah, you're just not granted them points.
So I'll change that scenario. We're just walking at that point, and I heard my dog treed, and I just called it.
Yeah.
And in UKC, you're going to stop and listen for my dog. Yeah, and if you hear it immediately, you're going to go ahead and take that.
Accept the call.
But if I make that call in PKC while we're walking and you didn't hear my dog barking when I made that call, what's going to happen?
Yeah, you'll be minus 10 points. And a lot of people is going to think, well, that's a terrible rule, whatever. The rules are stated that in any registry, the dog has to be heard prior to the call.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be prior of your call, struck or treed. The dog, it says the dog has to be heard immediately prior to the call. So in UKC, then it goes in the rules in UKC. If a dog is not heard whenever struck or treed, you're just not granted them points. If a dog is not heard whenever you strike or treat in PKC, you will be granted them points and then minus them points.
And I beat all around that bush trying to ask that question because the situation that Hudson was in, knowing those rules, he applied it wrong and he wasn't thinking. So I think it was a hot track, and there was multiple dogs in there barking. They were a long ways off though.
Yeah.
And Hudson's dog treed. And this would have made or broke the way that the cast turned out. Hudson was afraid to get that call real quick, so he said, "Judge, can you hear me in there?" Before he made the call,
yeah.
And somebody else immediately grabbed the call, and he didn't get his first tree.
And you are in UKC, and that man knowing that,
mm-hmm.
he knows he ain't gonna get no penalty if that judge can't hear his dog.
And Hudson was just being conservative with it and saying, "Do you got me in there?"
Right.
And in the meantime, while he's asking the judge, "Have you got me in there?" This other guy grabbed in front of him, and that kept Hudson from winning the cast because Hudson lost he didn't get the 125 that he was trying to get. He was just trying to make sure that judge heard him before he made that call. And that's why I was beating around with that question to get in that scenario. So that's keeping those rules separated, because the right thing for him to have done there would have been treat that dog,
because
they were going to hear it, but he was trying to be certain that they heard him.
Yeah.
And it cost him the 125. So he got that. Now that gap's in there. Yep. He lost that part of it.
Yeah.
So.
There's a few different scenarios right there. I mean, different ways you can play a tree call. I guess you
mm-hmm.
say it. But that's like a lot of times, like in PKC and stuff. A lot of times, and well, I'll just go ahead and say it. A lot of times in money hunts, dogs are going to be split 95% of the time. They're going to be in different directions, and a lot of times their dogs are going to be deep.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're deep, and you know you're. Your dog's pretty, you can hear your dog, but you know, they're pretty faintly. A lot of times, them guys will say, "Judge, do you hear me?"
Yes.
And they're going to say, "Which direction?" And you're pointing, they say, "I've got you." And you're going to strike or treat your dog.
Right. Because he was just riding off that, had that judge not heard him,
he was afraid he
could have beat somebody because they were deep. I mean, they could hear dogs. Yeah. They'd move
afraid
that.
When he called in that the judge going to mice
him. Yeah, and it was
not
like
knowing
that,
in UKC,
but that rule didn't apply. He was just in the heat of the moment. He wasn't thinking between the two, and he is just trying to be safer. And that was one of them that
$35 lesson.
That $35 lesson cost him.
Yeah.
That's just a scenario where that could happen. So keep those in mind when you're hunting.
And what we're saying like this, and we ain't telling you like in PKC to ask the judge every time your dog gets treed. Do you hear me? If you're blowed up tree at 300 yards, you can hear your dog plain as day. Tree your dog.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, like, if your dog's way through yonder,
I mean, we're in there.
You're over a hill, you're over a big holler or something, and you're sitting over there by yourself, the best thing to do in a PKC or pro sport cast now is going to be ask the judge if you hear, because if they don't hear you, you will be minus 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, where I hunt a dog a lot, like, certain females, when she trees, I can hear the echo of her.
Yeah.
You might not hear a dog, but I need to hear that echo. That's one of the situations that I'm going to ask, can you hear me there? If not, let's move on close, keep on moving direction until he can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like we hunt our own dogs, we hear our dogs better.
Correct.
I can hear my dog treat a lot further than a lot
you
of people
can hear your,
my
it
dog
don't matter.
Treat.
You can hear your dog anyways because
he's so
loud. I've
got supersonic ears, too.
we were pleasure hunting Sunday night, and we were hunting close to Kyle's house. I say close. He was like 1.5 miles from his house, and we're sitting there, and you could hear Rip in the kennel.
Yeah, he was mad. He wasn't able to go hunting.
I could hear him just as good as I could our dog that was right there in front of us. So that was 1.5 miles away. And he's like, "Yeah, that's Rip." And believe it or not, you could hear Flo over there, too. She carries good. But just wanted to get in that scenario. Because
and like another thing to think of is house dogs, too.
Yeah.
You know, you could know about your dog, and they may think it's a house dog. And
like my plot, though. He's like a house dog.
I mean, yeah.
What's that like?
Really? I need one like that.
Yeah. Now here's another frustrating situation. How many times have you ever been on a hunt and somebody's got their dog treating, and you know, and then when you get a little closer, they've treed off of a house dog.
Yeah, they're minus.
Yeah, or well, it could go in their favor. What if you went up there and they're down in a hollow? They could have legitimately been treed down there, but you got closer, then you couldn't. Then you run into a question to where how you distinguish it. I mean, it could happen. Yeah.
I mean, there's also good handler moves too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know your dog kind of sounds like that house dog, and you know you're over there, and you can treat your, and like I said, there's good handler moves out there. You can treat your dog off that house dog, and you get closer, you can hear your dog.
That's not something we're promoting to do.
No, we ain't promoting.
You need to do it off your dog.
But I mean, there's different scenarios out there that
it could happen.
It could happen.
I mean, where we hunted, just pleasure hunting the other night.
There's a house
dog. I could have treed numerous dogs I've owned over the years off that beagle. That was the best. Man, that was the best sounding beagle I've ever heard in my life. He sounded like a 100-pound walker dog beating the tree down, and it was a little beagle tied up.
15 pounds.
Yeah, he's deep.
Booming mouth.
So that's just another situation where that could happen. Let's talk about...
what's next?
Well, another question we had on there was dogs not hunting. How do you deal with that in a cast, in the different registries?
Yeah, every registry will have a 15-minute rule, which that 15-minute rule is when a dog comes into a cast and he ain't trying to hunt.
Let's take a quick break. I need about 2 seconds to go see what I'm in trouble for. My wife's calling me from upstairs.
All righty. We'll be right back.
So break off for 1 minute.
Outlaw Light Company, owned by Alan Roberts. Located in 10 Mile, Tennessee. 25 years of light building experience. With the newest addition to their lineup, the Ace Pro. They are constantly striving for the best parts. The Ace Pro has better switches and batteries, and it has the option of double walk light and 2 additional color modules, main beam and a green laser, or a single walk light with 3 color modules, main beam and a green laser. All their lights are known for dependability and extreme brightness. Contact Outlaw Lights for their complete light selection. Their direct business number is 423-453-8813. The Ace Pro, the light with a lifetime warranty.
Briar Creek Kennels, feed and hunting supply store, owned by Chris Girth, located in Hemera, Indiana. Briar Creek carries all your pet supplies and is the headquarters for all your hunting dog gear. Never get caught in the dark. They carry Outlaw Lights, Superior Lights, and their own Briar Creek Light brand. They are an authorized Garmin and Dogtra dealer. They offer hunting apparel by Yoder Nylon, Southside Hunting Gear, Dan's, Razor, and their own Briar Creek branded gear. Dog boxes include Old Dry Pond and Diamond Deluxe, AGM thermals, engraved nameplates, dog collars, and leads are just a few of the many other offerings you can get from Briar Creek. Visit the store in person or shop online at www.shopbriarcreek.com or check them out at the major events. Their direct business number is 812-383-9489. Briar Creek Kennels Feed and Hunting Supply Store. We're back. Sorry about that quick emergency. I got the phone call while we was down here recording from my lovely wife. She said, I need you to come upstairs. And she had a tick on her. So she was out. She walks every afternoon. And she's out here around the field. She don't handle ticks like we are. She don't handle it the way we do. So,
me and Stacy feared he was going to be in timeout.
I wasn't in timeout. I had to go and make certain that she had removed the tick properly and she wasn't going to die from the tick disease or anything. So, sorry about that. So, back to where we were. Let's get back into our scenario. We were just talking now. We're just kind of getting down to the bottom of our list. Dogs not hunting. So, that would be in a scenario where the dogs are just not going, you're cutting the dogs, or you've been hunting a while and the dogs are, they're not struck in, they're not wanting to hunt. So just tell us how those
hanging out around.
Hanging out around.
Not, you know, within your light distance. Just, they're not hunting. I mean, they're just plainly not hunting. I mean, running down a creek through the cast ain't declared not hunting. I mean, they're not hunting. This is dogs hanging out. I mean, we're all coon hunters here. We know if a dog's hunting or if they're hunting.
Yeah. So how do those rules apply in the two different scenarios, the two different registries?
So in both registries, a 15-minute timer will be put on, which is, the judge will start a watch and a 15-minute will start. And a rule that's in both of them, if that dog does not leave in 15 minutes, they're scratched for not hunting. The difference in them rules is in UKC, all that dog has to do is make an attempt to go hunting.
Correct.
Which in most people's eyes is they leave your sight, they're gone.
Yeah, because if they leave your sight, I'm not going to tell you on my Garmin it's out there out of light.
I mean, they could be 50 yards, they could be 500 yards.
Yeah, it's gone.
The dog has to leave.
The dog just has to leave.
And in UKC, the 15 minutes is broke. And if he returns, it'll be started back or whatever. In PKC, whenever that dog is declared he's gone, he's left, a 5-minute timer will be put on.
Correct.
A separate timer, which what that's declaring is the dog has to stay gone for 5 minutes or try to make an attempt to hunt in a solid consecutive 5 minutes to break the 15.
Right.
So he could be gone. And at this moment, you're still leaving that 15-minute rolling, because if that dog returns within 5 minutes, that 15 minutes that was started is still live.
So if you was 11 minutes in before the dog went hunting, you do, the way I understand that rule, they would get a pass because you're running another 5-minute timer on that dog. So
yeah,
they were here 11 minutes. You had 4 minutes left on the timer, but that dog thankfully just left. He better or she better stay gone for five minutes. They got
to stay gone for 5 minutes.
Because if they come back in
within three minutes,
they're still working off that original 15, so they're down to 1 or 2 minutes left, whereas in UKC, you have to start over.
That is leave. And like in UKC, I mean, it happens. He could run out there 100 yards and out of sight, and the 15 breaks, and then he comes back in, you start a new 15.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to ask that question, because when that dog does leave in UKC, I'm over it type thing. You're starting over. PKC,
they gotta be gone.
It's still 5 more minutes.
Or if they strike, if you declare them strike at all, that'll automatically break it.
Correct. So that was another scenario. Another thing we had a question about, and that was about how do you score dogs, or what do you do with dogs and that are treed? You're going in when dogs they meet the handlers and stuff. There's different situations on that. So there's ways when you're walking in, that dog is allowed to do certain things that doesn't get them to minus their 3 points, so or their situations they will.
This is a big topic right here, because there's a lot of, I'm going to call them buddy rules.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rules that a lot of people go by that ain't in the rule book. They're all in all registries, the dog can meet the handler off the tree a short distance, judge's decision, and can return and tree the satisfactory of the judge and not be minused anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in that situation, it says a short distance to discretion of the judge. That could be, I mean, it's, everybody has to use your coon hunter sense. If dog comes off 100 yards, 75 yards, that's, they're not meeting the handler, they've left.
Right. I mean, and we've had, and this is where rules get pressed at times. I mean, I had a situation, and we've mentioned it on a podcast before, talking about stuff. I've literally seen my personal dog treed on a tree, and literally was treed on a grapevine that was in the tree, and he was 4 feet from the base of the tree, and he reared up on that grapevine, and that judge was adamant, and they minused us over that. And that's that you're going to run into some of them type of situations. It's like, there's no way you should be minusing me on this tree. My dog has not left no tree.
Yeah, and that's a different situation. I mean, in that, and like going back to beating the handler, I mean, like I said, and a lot of times they'll say, and like I said, buddy rules, that dog, they said, I've been in a lot of cash where the guys say, my dog may meet me off the tree. And you hear somebody say, as long as he don't put his nose on the ground, he's fine. The dog, they're hounds. What happens whenever you turn a dog loose in the field, in the yard, in the woods, 9 times out of 10, what do? They put their nose on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't trailing. They ain't running. They're just, that's how they move. They're hounds. As a hunter,
you know, a dog comes to you and goes straight back at the tree.
Yeah, I mean, it can have his nose on the ground and go straight.
And then goes over here and then goes back. That's different.
Yeah, I mean, he's showing signs of trailing. I mean, there's you got to use your coon hunter sense too. If he comes back and meets me and then runs back in a straight line and his nose is on the ground and goes back and treeing, I mean, he just met me and went back.
Mm-hmm. And we had a pleasure. We were pleasure hunting. Hudson and I was Sunday night, and the dog was treed for a good solid 15 minutes before we got to the dog. There was no doubt that dog was barking in one location long enough for us to walk all the way to him.
Yeah.
And come to find out, he was actually in a hole. That's what caused the problem, and then we have to work on that. But when we got to the dog, we're like, that dog's not on a tree. He's in a hole. Well, I guess he knew we did not want him in that hole. He got to running around that hole. If that had been a competition hunt, I can tell you beyond, he went back and showed me that hole, but that dog ran around enough that I would have had to have eat minus if we'd been on a competition hunt.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, a lot of people get a lot of different ideas and mixed up in their head. They say, well, he left the tree a short distance. Mm-hmm. Well, did he meet you a short distance or did he leave the tree? If you leave the tree, that's like saying if I'm coming from the north side of the tree and the dog comes to me, towards me, and goes back, he's fine. But if I'm coming from the north and the dog runs south 50 yards, he didn't meet me.
Right.
He left that tree.
Right.
So he would be minus.
Right.
Even though it's a short distance, he is still minus because he did not meet the handler.
Right. And that's where I put that scenario that happened to me Sunday night. I mean, yeah, his pleasure hunting don't matter. But if I put how would that have been ruled in a cast, even though there wasn't a tree involved, it was a legitimate hole. It was a big damn big rock went back up underneath it. That dog went back and showed it because I was able to walk right over to it. But I'm telling you, that dog left that tree far enough.
It'd been minus.
He was minus. I couldn't have argued that with anybody. There's nobody I could argue. Well, he went back. It don't matter. He didn't leave it and come straight to me. And he left it, milled around and run around. And
seeing the thing that is like that, when he goes back, you're going to have to back out as a cast and retrieve him.
I know. That's the
stationary
other.
That's
another thing that sucks in that scenario, because had that been a competition hunt, I would have had to probably eat it twice because he went back over there and a good judge would have made me sit back there and see if he stays again. Then I had to treat him another time.
Yep.
So that's how that scenario could rule in. Another thing we've ran into on a couple hunt. Well, we've always done it, and I'm very adamant. I like to ask this question before we go into a hunt, is when we talked about this, is one of our last notes we was going to ask about spectators shining a tree. I like to ask before we go, does everybody in the group care if spectators shine? Now, whatever's decided at that point better be how you deal with it for the whole hunt.
What I like to tell people, that's a judge's job too. At the beginning of the cast, before the cast is before, and it has to be before dogs are cut. I mean, and if you're going to do it exactly the right way, before dogs are cut, everybody gets together and says, I like to always do it before the first tree is scored.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the judge's jobs, is say, hey, does everybody care if spectators shine? It has to be a unanimous vote. Everybody has to vote yes. And if one person says no,
then
you better tell spectator keep her lights down.
And when we were talking off the recording beforehand, you mentioned something that I like. You said if you have that conversation, which like you said, a good judge will do that.
Yeah.
You said you like to write that.
I always
write
it on top of my cards.
That takes a whole lot out. This decision was made. I mean, you're jotting down. Everybody agreed to shine. The reason I asked that question, and I always will push to make sure you ask if the judge don't ask, is because if they say no, it's no. Stacy was talking about a scenario where he was on the Winter Classic several years back, hunting an off-color dog, as I like to call him, but he was a good dog. How many points did you have?
625.
And you were sitting under another coon.
Our coon had first and first on.
And Dad was with him. He was a spectator. Dad always would go with him on them hunts. Dad finds a lot of coons. He's good at finding coons. He found that coon. What happened to you?
Got scratched.
And we
took the vote. Two guys voted to scratch. Two guys voted to let me go ahead and score it. So that being a scratchable fence, we had to go back to the master hounds.
Yeah.
So with that case, we had 20 minutes left to hunt, and we was an hour from the clubhouse, and a storm rolling in. There's nothing we could have done. So that's why I agreed to go ahead and withdraw my dog.
Right. But that scenario, you didn't, prior to that hunt, that particular cast, didn't discuss it ahead of time.
We didn't vote on it.
And the words out of that judge's mouth, because Stacy's even asking, he said, but Dad has found your last two coons. And what'd he tell you on that?
He told me, well, I'm calling you out on it. You didn't call me out on it.
Yep.
And so, nothing I could done. I mean,
that's a pretty low move, but.
And those trees were done, they were done close. Yeah. We done left them trees, so he couldn't come back questioning.
Yeah, I mean, that's a low move, but at the same point, I mean, they're
yeah.
technically
so
right.
In that situation, though, the right thing to do is always ask beforehand. And but when you get in the woods, go by what was determined on the front end.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to, if it wasn't discussed, I don't want to help and take a chance on that happening.
No.
Because it could happen, and that's one of them situations. It was a low move, but it happened to him. He got beat out of that because, I mean, he was sitting under, already had 600 sitting under another coon, and he's getting minus because they didn't discuss
and
it ahead of time.
And what we're talking about here is, like, so if we did vote at the beginning of the cast, and it's me, Jason, and Stacy's in a cast, and we say, does anybody, and we all got spectators going to walk with us, and they asked if you care if spectators shine. I say, yeah. Jason says yes, but Stacy says no, he does not want spectator to shine. At that moment, if we score any trees and one of our spectators are shining, whoever's their spectating will be scratched from the hunt.
Yeah.
It's a scratchable offense.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's got to be unanimous vote.
It's got to be
unanimous vote.
Mm-hmm. And majority of the cast, they don't care, but you're going to get into some if you hunt these hunts long enough where they don't want spectator to shine, and that's fine because some people's had bad experiences with spectators or something, you know. I mean, that's why the rule's in place. But it has to be a unanimous vote.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask that. So the last question, and we probably can call it quits after this one. We just made some notes about when do question marks apply? What is the purpose of question marks on a hunt? When can you use those, and what happens there?
So this is a good rule. I mean, that people always think questions are bad things. Questions aren't bad. I mean, if everybody has disagreements, and a question is put in place in the rule book so you can assess that situation without arguing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to keep the fights down and everything people say is bad in a hunt. So a question is when something has been scored and you don't agree with it. You can say, I'm going to question that. And at that moment, they're going to have, when a hunting judge is being used, there's going to be a cast vote.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to vote, and if you still don't like the way they voted, if you got outvoted, you can question that call. And what that does right then is they're going to put a question mark on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And then as long as it ain't a scratchable offense, after the hunt's over, you're going to go back to a master of hounds, hunt director, a panel, and they're going to listen to the question, and they can either rule with how it was ruled or overturn that call.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's all what it is. It is when a call is made and you don't agree with it, and you think they're wrong or it needs to be called a different way, you're going to question something. And all you got to do then is just tell them you're going to question it. And that's the end of it. I mean, it should be the end of it.
Yeah, and then that's where the question mark comes in. That's what that's for, is to eliminate any kind of an argument or fuss out in the woods. And then you take it back and get that. So, like I said, if it's ruled on and the vote happens, if it's the way, there's no reason for the question. But
yeah, I mean, a good little scenario that'd be is be, I guess we're talking about a off game would be, we're in a UKC cast, champion cast. My dog trees a possum. Stacy's dog is there, but he ain't declared treed, and everybody's saying that his strike is just minus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me knowing the rules, his dog is actually going to be scratched.
Correct.
Everybody says, no, he's minus. I'm going to tell him I want to question this call. And now it's a scratchable offense. You have to go back to Master Hounds right then. And you go back and you know the rule. But, hey, everybody tells their story. Yes, his dog was there.
Mm-hmm.
Master Hounds then will say, yes, he is scratched, which means they overturned that call.
Yes.
Instead of going out there and letting it go, letting him just be minus. And then I guess the big thing would be going on social media, telling you how you've been cheated and all that. If you would have just questioned that call, you could have got it overturned.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the questions are put in place, is to prevent cheating, to keep people from buddy, I guess they call it buddy systems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it puts in place where you can take it back to the rules official at the club.
Mm-hmm. So questions are not a bad thing. That's
no,
that's,
not
that's
at
what
all.
They're there for, is to use them and to keep the heat down. So
yeah,
and they do a good job. I mean, I hung out while the TLC was going on. You guys was all hunting. I just hung out. And there's questions comes in. I mean, you just kind of sit back and watch. And actually, I will give kudos to these hunt directors and Master of Hounds. They get a lot of tough questions. Sometimes you scratch your head trying to think.
And the big thing is with a panel member, like I've been on panels and stuff, and the thing is there's normally going to be somebody upset. And I like to give these hunt directors and these panel guys, I mean, the credit they deserve is they're making these calls by the book to the best of their abilities, knowing that somebody's going to get mad, but they know what they got a job and they do their job right.
Yeah, and that's what I watched this hunt director do. These questions come in, they were like, okay, now so let's go through that scenario. And he listened to that scenario, and then he got it from the other guys, and then he got his book out, and he was trying to flip through, okay, if it happened this way, this is how that rule would have been applied. So they do, they put a lot of thought in that. I mean,
It ain't just buddies going and talking to another buddy. This is, I mean, extensive going through the rules and everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. So I give them kudos and admiration for doing that, because that's some tough stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and like, so questions, I mean, don't take them as a bad thing. And if you're a judge and you question something, it's not a bad thing either. I mean, that's just, that's why they're there for, just to keep the arguments down. And when you don't agree with the call, you can, they're meant to have the calls right, so the right dog wins the hunt, is what they're there for.
Have we got any other stuff, or that we want to call it quits for the night?
Time to call it quits, I think.
Okay, I think we went through. We'll try to think some more. If anybody listening has any scenarios, we'll try to sit down and see how we think they would
go to our Facebook page and leave some comments and what you think about the episodes and what y'all want to hear, and we like the feedback.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But once again, don't forget about the merch, though. We'll be dropping that soon.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a good night.
Thank you.